Today's share is Masechta Bava Kama Daf Lamed Ches. We will begin on Daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. The second line from the top, we learned in the Mishnah, Shor She Yisrael, if Yisrael belonging to Yisrael, Shnagach Shor She Knani, attack the Shor that belongs to Knani. The halacha is that potter, that you're not chayiv for that damage. Ask the Gemara Amri, Manav Shach. But on the other hand, the Mishnah said, that if the Shor of Kanani attacked the Yisrael for Yisrael, they pay Nezek Sholim. So ask the Gemara Amri, Maman of Shach. The question is, obviously, Ireyu, if we're going to say when the Torah says Re'ehu, that's the pasuk from we learn that that the halachas of Nezikim only applied by our fellow Jews, Dafka, and we're going to say that when the Torah uses the word Re'ehu, it's meant to be taken literal, so then the Kanani Kanagach Yisrael, so the halacha ought to be, when the Shor of a Kanani attacked the Shor of Yisrael, Nami Lifter, because it's not Re'ehu. And if, on the other hand, ask the Gemara, Vi Re'ehu Lav Dafka, we don't take the word Re'ehu literally, so then the halacha ought to be, I feel the Yisrael Kanagach Kanani, that even if the Shor of Yisrael, the damage to the Shor of a Kanani, the halacha should be Nechayiv. So why do we find this inconsistency? So of course the Shita Mekubetzes, quoting Rabbeinu Peretz, asks, how can we suggest that Re'ehu, when the Torah says a word, it's Lav Dafka? Can we ever suggest that the Torah says something and it's not to be taken as the Torah teaches us? So he answers that we can understand, as we've been learning in our shiurim, that Hegdish is not considered Re'ehu. But so maybe we're both human beings, and therefore the word Re'ehu only comes to exclude Hegdish and not Anakum. Rabbi Kivega gives a different teretz. Rabbi Kivega says, actually, the Gemara could have asked that question. But he says that the Gemara preferred to ask that we have this inconsistency, and that's why the Gemara asked that question, even though it could have asked the other question that we mentioned as well. Amr Bavua, so Bavua, in answer to this question, says, Amakra, the Pasuk in Chabakuk says, Amad v'yemoided oretz, ra v'yater goyim. Says the Gemara, what does that Pasuk come to teach us? Ra, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw, v'sheva mitzvah shekibol aleim b'nei noach, the Zion mitzvahs that the B'nai Noach are obligated to follow, and he saw that they weren't, he went to examine if they're following those mitzvahs, and he saw, Kivin Shaloi Kaimu, once HaKadosh Baruch Hu determined that they're not fulfilling those mitzvahs, Omav Hittim and Mainam Yisrael. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu took a much more lenient approach to the money, and therefore the halach is that if we do damage to their, if a Shor Shel Yisrael does damage to a Shor Shel Akum, it's potter, vice versa, they'll have to play Nezek Sholem. Another, the Bedach Yezra of Chaim Oizer in Chelik Bey Simulam Zion, sort of expands this thought. He says that this Pasuk is only coming to teach us that when Akum, does damage, when the Shor of an Akum does damage to the Shor of Yisrael, there's a loch of Nezek Sholem. But when a Yisrael Shor does that, attacks an Akum Shor, then the loch is that the reason we don't have to pay, suggests Achiezer, is because that's the kind of a case that's brought to the court system of the Akum. And the court system of the Akum suggests Achiezer, there is no obligation when somebody's animal does damage. And that's why the halacha is that if Yisrael does damage to Nakum, we follow their rules, and in their rules, on such a situation, you wouldn't have to pay for the damage. Rabbi Yochanan says the basis for this halacha is mihacha from the following pasuk. The pasuk says, Haifia mihaporan, a pasuk in Parshas Zayis HaBracha, miporan, if he, when the Akum refused to accept the Torah on Har Paran, at that point, Ramanim Yisrael, their money became hefker. So if we follow the first pasuk, point out the Rishonim, then the halacha would be the only reason that we don't have, that there's no financial obligation, is because they don't keep the Zayin mitzvahs. If that's the case, when you'll have an akum that keeps the Zayin mitzvahs, then the halacha will be, if you'll have an akum that keeps the Zayin mitzvahs, then this halacha of raw vayater goyim wouldn't apply, because it's only reason we're learning that raw vayater goyim is because they're not keeping the Zayin mitzvahs. But if they are keeping the Zayin mitzvahs, then the halacha ought to be that we should have to pay them. On the other hand, if we'll follow the pasuk of Hafir Mehaporin, that going back to the time of Har Sinai, that they didn't want to receive the Torah, so that applies to all Akum, and the halacha would be no matter which Akum we're talking about. And along this line, that the Dvar Avram speaks about when we speak about the exemption that we're learning in our shiur today, that we don't have to pay Akum for damages, but Akum have to pay to us. How do we understand this? Is the way to understand that the Akum has a full-fledged obligation to pay for damages that his animal does, or there is no chiyuv, there is no obligation for an Akum to pay such damage? What the Gemara is teaching us is when we have a right to demand payment from the Akum, and but not that the Akum has an independent obligation. And he says, what would be the nafkamina? The nafkamina would be, let's say this Akum, whose animal did damage while he was still an Akum, and then he became a ger. If we're going to say that what we're learning in our Gemara is that when an Akum's animal does damage, he has to pay. So since this damage was done while the animal was under the ownership of an Akum, then the Akum will have to pay, even though now he's a Baruch Shem Ager. If, however, says the Dvar Avram, the way to learn it is that we have a right to ask the Akum for the money, but it's not to be understood that the Akum, it's not to be understood that the Akum is obligated, moral not. So then, even though the damage took place when he was an Akum and now he's a Ger, that obligation continues. And he says, it seems to him that the way to understand this Gemara is that the Akum, that this is a right for us to make a claim, not that the Akum have a higher level of than they that we do. Tanya Nami Hachi, says the Gemara, Shosha Yisrael, Shanagach Shosha Knani Potter. However, Shosha Knani, Shanagach Shosha Yisrael, Bein Tam, Bein Mu'ud, all these distinctions that we've been learning in our Masechta don't exist. Mishalim Nezek Shalim, Shanemar, Omer V'yoyda Yumadet Oretz, V'ra V'yater Goyim. V'oimer, Haifim Mahaporin. Ask the Gemara, Maiva Oimer, what is the point in the Brisa bringing the second pasuk? V'chitei ma'omad v'yivaydet aretz v'boi lechid rab masna v'rab Yosef. It's needed to teach us what we're going to learn soon, what Rab Masna Rab Yosef taught us. Tashma, so there's another pasuk to teach us this lesson, the pasuk of Haifim ma'aparin, mifparin haifim ma'amonim l'Yisrael, at parin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let us take that money from the Aparin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let us take that money from the Akum. The Chasam Sofer explains, the Pasuk in Mishlei says, Ki kol pol Hashem lemaneu, gam rosh l'yoyim ro. He says that even though Tumma represents something very negative, but sometimes Tumma represents something positive in the right time, in the right place. So he says that's pshat, that the Akum, if they were behaving as HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted them to behave, suggests the Chasam Sofer, so that would be a representation of a total segregation between Kedusha and Tuma. But he says, actually what happened was that they're not behaving the way they're behaving. And if they're not behaving the way they're supposed to behave, we could now have a mix-up between the Kedusha and the Tuma. And because of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided best would be that they don't keep anything. The B'nai Yisoschar says, we know that the Gemara, the Yerushalmi, says that the Malchus Yovam, as Chanukah came, would say, Kisfulchem al Kernasher, they write on the horn of the animal, Ein lechem chelik be Yisrael. So the question, of course, asked the B'nai Yisoschar, is why is it that they wrote it on the Keren HaShor, on the horn of the shore? So he says that when we speak about Shein V'Regel, which are the other mazikim of a shore that we've been discussing in our Masechta, we don't find that the Gemara, the Halacha, should differentiate between an Akam and a Jew. Only where in this case Keren, because the Pasik of that we're learning Shorei Eyu is only Ben Keren. So that's why, says the Bnei Yisoschar, that what got the Akum so very upset is this. What got the Akum upset is that why are the obligations of an Akum by Keren different than the obligation of Yisrael by Keren? And that's why the Gemara says that, that's why they specifically wrote their decree Al-Keren Ashor, because that's what got them upset, how there was such a difference between us and the Akum. There's a very famous story of the Ger Tzedek Potocki. The story is that he lived in Vilna, and he was born to a non-Jewish family, but he became connected to Klal Yisrael, and ultimately became a Ger Tzedek, and was killed on Shavuos, Al Kiddush Hashem, because of his acceptance of the Jewish religion. And when they were about to kill him, they said to him, why are you connecting yourself to the Jewish people? If you were meant to be a Jew, you would have been born a Jew. He says, so he said to them, our Gemara just said, Hafia Mehar Purim. And how did the Gemara explain Afir Har Paran? That the Akum refused to receive the Torah when it was offered to them by Har Sinai. And because they refused to receive the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished them in this very significant manner. HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished them in this very significant manner that their money becomes, so to speak, a type of a hefker. So he says, let's understand that situation. Is it conceivable, said this Ger Tzedek, that every Akum refused to become a Jew? There must have been Akum that weren't prepared to become Jews. And unfortunately, there must have been Jews who were not so prepared to accept all of the Torah as we did Behar Sinai. So he says, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He says, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did was he said, that all the Jews who unfortunately refused to accept the Torah over the generations, they were the Jews that left our religion. And all of the Akum who were prepared to accept the Torah in Har Sinai were ultimately the Jews, explained this Ger Tzedek, that became connected to the Jewish people. So he said, when you say that I was never supposed to be a Jew, and therefore you say to me, why did you take upon yourself the mitzvahs? The answer is that I really always was supposed to be part of the Jewish people. I was from those neshamas that stood by Har Sinai, and was ready to accept the Torah, and ultimately that's why I came back to Klal Yisrael. Says the Netziv, that when we find that Akum do mitzvahs, it's different than when a Klal Yisrael does mitzvahs. HaKadosh Baruch, because he says it's difficult to say that Klal Yisrael should that the Klal Yisrael and the Akum, that Akum don't do the mitzvahs. How can we say that if they were given the Zayin mitzvahs b'nei Noach, they could just become absolved from having to follow them? So then the Siv suggests, when we speak about a mitzvah and the schar, the reward for doing a mitzvah, it's not to be understood, says the Netziv, that it's just a reward. You know, we think of reward and punishment. If I do something right, I get a reward. If I do something wrong, I get punished. Says the Netziv, it's really much more. When somebody does a mitzvah, he becomes a different type of a person. And what the Gemara here means to say is that because the Akum stopped accepting and doing what the Torah wants us to do, so they lost that opportunity, that when you do a mitzvah, you become a different person, a better person. But of course, the punishment for doing an Avera or the schar for doing a mitzvah remains forever. And that's why the Netziv says, because we can't measure mitzvahs and averas just by physical punishment or by physical reward, says the Netziv, that's why you can't sell a mitzvah or you can't sell an avera, because it's not just something that has a value that we could identify in such a manner. Says the Gemara, Maid Rav Masna, the Gemara said that Amad v'yimadad Oretz is needed to teach us what Rav Masna taught us. What is that? Amar Rav Masna, Amad v'yadad Oretz, v'ra v'yat again. Ma ra, what did he say? Ra v'shav mitzvah sh'nistav alayim b'nei noich. He saw the Zayin mitzvahs that the Akum were obligated to do, v'lekimam, but they weren't following them. V'yigla ha'sam me'al admasam. And because of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent them to Golos. Says the Gemara, or asked the Gemara, "My mashm dehai vayat the lishn deguliyahu." How do we see from this word that they meant to galus? Ksiv hoch vayat the goyim. The ksiv, it says regarding the sheretz ha'oif, that's the type of a sheretz that flies. Lenat ben mal aretz metagim lekafts ben al ara, that those legs were used to jump around. So that's what meant here. They were sent into galus for this reason. My Rabbi Yosef, the other lima the Gemara suggested is from Rabbi Yosef, Omer Rabbi Yosef, Omad v'imodet Oretz, v'ra v'yat agayim, ma ra, ra shem mitzvah shekibbalayim b'nei noyach v'lekimam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw how they're not fulfilling the Zayin mitzvahs, Omad v'hetir lahem, and he said they don't have to fulfill them. Ask the Gemara, if that's the way to understand, it's guri itgud, that means that they profit from not doing mitzvahs. And ask the Gemara Im Kain, if that's the way we're going to learn, Metzinu Chaitin Isker. Turns out that they benefit from doing the wrong thing. So therefore, says the Gemara, Omer Marbere de Ravna, the way to understand it is not that they're not going to get Filim Mekaimenasom. What it means to say, as we just explained, that even if they fulfill the mitzvahs, Emekamalim Schar, they're not going to get the Schar, as the Netziv explained, what mitzvahs do that they change us. Veloy. Ask the Gemara, is that true that an Akum that's Mekayim the Zayin Mitzvah Bnei Noach doesn't get any reward? How do we know if we have a Nochri that's learning Torah? Shukri Kohen Gadol, that he's considered like a Kohen Gadol. Tamaloymer, the Pasuk says, Ashiyasa Oysa Odom V'chai Behem. Says the Gemara, Kahanim V'levim V'Yisraelim. If we look in the Pasuk doesn't mention Kahanim V'levim V'Yisraelim. Ela Adam, it means an Adam. Halamarata, Shafil Nochri Vaisak Batira. Even you have an Akum who's learning Torah, Harei Kin Kohen Gadol. So what are we saying? That if they do their mitzvahs, they don't get any reward. Amri, says the Gemara, they do get reward. However, Emakamalim Meschak Matsuva Vaisa, they don't get reward in the level of somebody who is obligated to do a mitzvah. They only get the reward in the level Kamisha and a mitzvah v'aisa, which is a lower level, as we will explain. Dam Rav Chanina, God la mitzvah v'aisa, yoisa misha and a mitzvah v'aisa, and they're only going to get it on that level. Of course, when the Gemara says that a filo ayvik acham v'aisik b'tayra, who could kain godl, explains Taisvis, the halachi is that akum she'aisik b'tayra, an akum that learns Taira's chayiv misa. So he says, when it speaks here about them learning, it's talking about the Zayin, learning the Zayin mitzvahs of Bnei Noach. And not only that, Tosfos Masechta Chagiga says that not only is an Akum supposed to learn the rules of the Zayin Mitzvah Bnei Noach, and he, as we're learning now, he gets some reward for that, but even a Jew is supposed to teach, the, is allowed to teach them, even though a Jew is not allowed to teach an Akum Torah, as the Pasuk says, Mishpotim Bal Yedom, but the Zayin Mitzvahs, you are allowed to teach them. The Bach over there actually says that that is incorrect, and the Bach says that we're not allowed to teach the Akum Torah, including the Zayin Mitzvah Bnei Adam. So the Gemara says, Ka'anavali Yisraelim Loi Nemer Elo Adam. So the question that Tosfos asks is that we know the Gemara says that Atum Kriyim Adam, the Klal Yisrael called Adam, Ve'ena Akum Kriyim Adam, but the Akum are not considered Adam. So Tosfos asks, how does the Gemara say, because it says Adam and includes the Akum? So answers Tosfos, there's a difference between the word Adam and Ha'adam. Ha'adam speaks about the person who's standing here. The Pasuk, the person who's standing here, says Tosfos, is both a person, a Jew and a Goy. But when it says Adam, without that Hayyadiyya, that only speaks about a Jew. And Tosfos say that that's Pshat when it says B'nai Adam. B'nai Adam includes all people in the world. So the Gemara just taught us, Gola Mitzuva Oysa, Yoysa Misha Ene Mitzuva Oysa. And the Rishonim give many different explanations why is somebody who's obligated to do a mitzvah more on a higher level than somebody who's not obligated. Tosfos Masechta Kedusha says that if somebody's obligated to do a mitzvah, he's constantly concerned, will I do the mitzvah? Maybe I'm going to violate the mitzvah. Somebody who doesn't have an obligation doesn't have that level of concern. Tosfos Masechta Avodah Zarah says that the Halacha and the Rashi and the Ritva seems to say the same pshat. The Yetzer Hara is much more focused on somebody who's obligated to do a mitzvah and not to do and to prevent them from doing the mitzvah. And therefore, the job of a person who has a Yetzer Hara to not do the Avera is far greater and more difficult than somebody who is obligated, who's not obligated to do the mitzvah. I saw that the Sefer Chai Shlomo for one of the Sadegeir Rebbes says like this. He says, when somebody is not obligated to do the mitzvah, and he's doing the mitzvah anyway, so his attitude towards the fulfillment of the mitzvah is that what I'm doing is something that I'm not obligated to do anyway. And since what I'm doing is something that I am not obligated to do, whatever I do is fine, because I didn't have to do it in the first place. However, somebody who is obligated to do a mitzvah, by that person, it's just the opposite. He's always concerned that I didn't do it, I didn't do what I was supposed to do. I could have done better. That's why the Gadol HaMitzvah V'Oysa Yoysa V'Misha Eri Mitzvah V'Oysa. Says the Gemara Tanur Rabbanan, Rekash Sholch HaMalchus Rem V'Shnei Sajotis, they sent the Roman government sent two officers, Eitzel Chachmi Yisrael, to the Chachmi Yisrael, and he told them, Lamdan the Toraskem, teach us the Torah. So of course, the Rishonim asked, we just learned, we quoted the Pasuk that we say every day, Mishpatim by Yedom, that we're not allowed to teach Akum Torah. So how were they allowed to teach them Torah? So Tosfos answers that it was a question of life and death, and even though the halacha indeed is that we're not supposed to teach them Torah, but we're not obligated to give up our lives for not teaching them Torah. Another teretz that the Rishonim suggest is that these Akum disguised themselves as Jews. So when they were teaching them Torah, they thought they were teaching Jews Torahs. Says the Gemara, Amalem, so says the Gemara, Karar, Vishon, Vishilshu, they learned the once, and twice, and says the Gemara, and B'shas Petrosim, as they were taking leave, Amalem, these officers said to Klal Yisrael, the Dakhtim B'kol Tereschem, we followed up on everything that it says in the Torah, and we recognize v'emesu, that the Torah is completely true. However, chutz midavar zeh, there's one thing that troubles us. Sh'atem omrim, the halacha that we're learning in our shir. You are saying, shor sh'Yisrael sh'nagach shor sh'kanani, if a shor of a Jew does damage, attacks a shor sh'kanani, potter. And on the other hand, shor kanani sh'nagach shor sh'Yisrael, bein tam be'mud m'shalm nezek sholim. And the question they asked is the question that we began our shir with today. Manavshach, irei dafka, if we're going to take the word re'eu literally, so then the halacha ought to be, I feel the kanani k'nagach Yisrael lifter. And if on the other hand, re'eu is lav dafka, then the halacha is I feel the Yisrael k'nagach nami l'chayev. The dovazeh, says the Gemara, is the reason for this, ein medin oyser l'malchus. The Kaddish Baruch, the Gemara says that we should not reveal to the Akum this halacha, because this halacha could only, this halacha as we're learning now, is only something that could cause us great danger, and we're not supposed to speak about this, we're not supposed to be teach them this halacha, even at the pain, I saw that the Yam Shishloim suggests, of a serious nefesh. Says the Rav Shmuel Yehuda Shechiv Elei Barta. Rav Shmuel Yehuda, his daughter died. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rabbanan Ula. So Rabbanan said to Ula, Kum Nezel Nechamnei. Let's go be Menachem Ovel him. Amalu. So Ula said to Rabbanan, Mei Is Lagabi Nechemta De Bavloi De Gedufahu. It's inappropriate that we should go be Menachem Ovel him, because they speak inappropriately when they're sitting Shiva. The Amri, their attitude is, Ma'ef Shalom Avid. That what could we have done? Which seems to imply, it implies that we could sort of do something, we would have done it. And of course, that implies that a person has to accept the gzeir of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When the Rama says that in Halacha, when somebody goes to Menachem Avil, it's very important not to say what can be done, which, as we're learning now, is apikorsis, as if not accepting what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. The Mashal, however, does not accept this explanation. He said that what would happen with that, when they went to be Menachem Avil, what they meant to say is what could be done is that crying too much will not bring the person back. And therefore, what they said is not inappropriate. And says, in fact, the Mashal says that there was a story with Shmuel and David HaMelech, and when after David HaMelech lost the son, Shmuel came to see him, and what happened, David HaMelech was telling him, Ha'ochel, ha'uchal ishiva oid. What he's saying was, why I shouldn't overly mourn, because I can't change what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. So explains the Taz, what happened over there. David HaMelech's friends were not understanding why David was crying when his son was sick. And suddenly, after his son died, he wasn't crying and he was accepting it. So which David HaMelech meant to say, as long as he was alive, I had something to daven. So that's what we have to do. If there's somebody unfortunately sick, we have to daven that they should have a refuah shleima. But after the person dies, the person has to recognize that we can't change it. And if there's nothing to do, then on the contrary, we have to accept it. And as I saw some of Farshim explain, that we have to justify tzedek hadin and justify whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, says the Gemara. Azahul Chadai. So because Ula did not want to go be Menachem Avil, so he went alone to be Menachem. The Rabbanan went alone to be Menachem Avil. So Ula said to him, the Pasuk says, V'yom HaShem Alai, Al Tatsar Asmoy V'al Tizkabam Mechama. Not to do war with Moiv. Ask the Gemara, v'chimal adat shemayshe lasim mecham shlev rishus. It seems that Moshe Rabbeinu was going to do war, but because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him don't do war, that's why he didn't do it. Would Moshe Rabbeinu have done anything without HaKadosh Baruch Hu's permission? Ella, nos Moshe Kavachayim ba'atzmai. Moshe Rabbeinu made the following Kavachayimah. V'omer, umam mejonim shlebo el lazas moyev. The mejonim did not come to wage war with Klal Yisrael. All Moav did was the Bilah from Midian should come to help him. Amr Torah, so the Torah says, regarding Midian, Tzroras and Midian v'kisim ha'som, that we have to go after them. So Moavim Atzmam, who were the ones that wanted a whole battle with Klal Yisrael, Lekoshkein, and that's what Moshe Rabbeinu thought, that of course we should hold battle with them. To which HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, Amr HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, you're not thinking like I am thinking. Shtei prey des toivis, there are two young birds. And the reason that they're called prey des is because young kosher birds, which shtei prey des toivis, two tzedekonios, are going to, yeshli lights, ma'am, are going to come out from these nations. Who are they? Rus Hamayavi and Noama Hamoinis. And because these two wonderful people, are going to come out from them, then that's why I don't want you to start up with them. So Tysus asks, yes, Rus Hamayavis came from Moav, and as we know, Rus Hamayavis was the forefather for mother of David HaMelech. But what about Adoimi and Emma? So he says, if you look in the Pasuk, you'll find the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu about Moav, and the way he speaks about to Moshe Rabbeinu about Edom and Emoin are very different. By Edom it says, V'yoyim Hashem Eli Leimer, tell Klal Yisrael. By Ammon it says, V'yidab Hashem Eli Leimer, to tell Klal Yisrael. By Moav it says, V'yoyim Hashem Eli. So that's why we see the fundamental difference. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to give Moshe Rabbeinu these introductory remarks? Not like your thinking was my thinking. Why couldn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu just have told Moshe Rabbeinu, this is what I want? So the Divrei Shaul explains that how could have Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to wipe out the nation, wipe them out based on a Kal V'chomer? Isn't there a halacha that ain't onshim and adin? We don't give punishments on based on a Kal V'chomer. Says the Divrei Shaul, that's exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying. Your Kal V'chomer cannot be used. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was explaining to Moshe Rabbeinu this rule, a rule that we've actually discussed more than once in our shiurim. Why is there a rule of Ein Onshim and Adin? Because Ein Onshim and Adin is based on human logic. And human logic, by definition, can be flawed. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, this is exactly an example of such a great example. That you want to use a Kal V'chomer, your Kal V'chomer is flawed, and that's why we can't rely on a Kal V'chomer to act. Ain't on Shimon Adin. The Ben Yoyada says that yes, as we're going to learn, there were two great descendants of Moav and Ammon that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to save. But why did he have to save their entire family, the entire nation? He could have just saved that their families should not be punished, and like that, they'll be able to become part of Klal Yisrael. Why was it necessary to save their entire nation? So explains the Ben Yoyada. We know that they descended from great families, from the families of the king. If Moshe Rabbeinu had not saved them, if their entire nation wasn't saved, what makes Rus special is not just that she was a woman from Moav, and decided to connect herself to connect herself to Klal Yisrael. She was part of a whole nation. She was part of the family of the king. You can't have a king without a nation. That's why they had to save the whole nation, because Rus, to appreciate Rus, is to appreciate where that she came from, the family of a king. Says the Gemara, Loid Var Kavachomer. So now says the Gemara, we can make the following Kavachomer. Umabish for state praise Toivis, Chosa Kurishparko state Umas Kadilis, because of these two great, because of these two people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved their entire nation of Lechrivan. Bitel Shrebi, Im Ksherihi Veruyahi, if she would have been worthwhile, Lot says Memena Dov Toiv, that something worthwhile should come from her, Alach Kama Kama Dava. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have saved her. And if he did what he did, he obviously realized that this is what's bad, what's right. So the Mukha Yosef asks that if we look in Sefer Melachim, Shlomo HaMelech is actually criticized for marrying women from Ammonios. And here it says that it was great that she survived to become the wife of Shlomo HaMelech. So the Mukha Yosef says that Shlomo HaMelech married many women from Ammon. And those were women that he should have actually not married. But Naama HaMoinis was a tzaddikus, and that was a marriage that actually the Torah does says the Mukhi Yosef does not condemn. Says the Gemara Amar Chibar, Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ena Kadosh Baruch Hu Mekapech Sve Koberia. Anybody who does something right will be paid, will be rewarded for it. But Filu Sche Sichano, even somebody said something proper. Because we all recall the episode in the Torah, after Kadosh Baruch Hu destroyed the city of Sodom, after he destroyed the city of Sodom, and Lot and his daughters were saved, his daughters thought that the entire world was wiped out, and because they wanted to bring that the world should continue, they had relations with their father. It says the Gemara, the Bechira, the Kamra, that she called her son Mayav, which represents that she that he was the son of her father. You may not lead battle with them. You may make them your servants. However, the Tzira, the younger daughter, the Kamra ben Ami, which was much more discreet, don't attack them, and don't even do anything to start up with them. Because she spoke in a nicer way. However, says the Gemara, a person should always take the opportunity to do a mitzvah first. The older daughter had relations with her father one night before the younger one, Moya before Ammon. Kadmus and Avadaris Yisrael. There were four generations before she entered Klal Yisrael. Oved Yishai David Shloima. Tzira, but Tzira only had a descendant who was the daughter, who was the son of Naama. Ad Rechavam. The Ksiv Hashem Imoy Naama Aminus, which was four prior generations. And many Mefarshim make a very interesting observation here. On one hand, the Gemara says that the Tzira, the younger daughter, was better than the older daughter because she spoke in a nicer way. On the other hand, our Gemara says that the older daughter was treated better than the younger daughter. How do we reconcile this? So the Mefarshim all explain what the lesson of this Gemara is, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very exact in the way he runs the world. And when somebody does something right, he gets rewarded. When somebody does something wrong, he gets punished. So when it came to the way they expressed themselves, and Ammon was expressed nicer than Moav, so that she gets rewarded and Moav gets punished. On the other hand, the fact that she jumped ahead to do a mitzvah, that deserves reward. And for everything, it's separate. Says the Matana Rabbanan, Shosha Yisrael, Shonagach Shosha Kuti Potter. As we know, often discussed in Shas, the strategy of Sancheriv as he was conquering the world was he would take different nations and put them in different countries. And he brought the Kutim, Teretz Yisrael, as he conquered the land, of course, and he put them in Eretz Yisrael, which was essentially desolate at that time. And because Eretz Yisrael was desolate, there were so many animals running around the country, and they were Megayer. And throughout Shas, there's a discussion of the Kutim are considered Geri Arayis, with an Aleph, that they became Gerim because of fear of the lions, and therefore they're not considered Jewish, or the Geri Emes. Everybody agrees that ultimately they started worshipping Avodah Zarah. But the question is, how does the halacha look at them? So says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan Sharsha Yisrael Shenogach Shor Shakuti Potter. V'Shakuti Shenogach Shor Shisrael Tam Mishalem Chatzi Nezek Umud Mishalem Nezek Shalem. Ramei Omer Shor Shisrael Shenogach Shor Shakuti Potter. V'Shar Shakuti Shenogach Shor Shisrael Pein Tam Bein Mood Mishalem Nezek Shalem. Because obviously Ramei's opinion is that they're considered like Akum. So ask the Gemara, Lememra, does that mean that Ramei's opinion is that Sav Ramei Kutum Gerei Rai is saying that they're considered like Akum? For a minute, the Gemara asks from the Mishnah Masechta needed of Nun Vavon Beis. The Gemara speaks about Ksamim. We know the blood of a Nida is Tamei. The question is if a Kesem, if there's a garment that's found with blood on it, how do we treat that garment? If it's the garment of a Jewish woman, it'll be Tameh, because we have to assume that the blood of a Nida was on that garment. If it's a garment of a non-Jew, they're not Tameh. So the Mishnah says, Kolak Samim, whenever such a garment is found, Habar Merekem, if they come from the city of Rekem, Tahirim. Because most people who inhabited Rekem were non-Jews. Yudim Tameh, Neshem Gerim V'Tameh. Because the people are really Gerim, however, they don't know the halacha. Says the Gemara, if the Ksamim come from where non-Jews live, so there's no problem of Nida. If it comes from a place where Yisrael and Kutim live, the halacha is that Ramei Matame, Ramei holds that the Tame, because he obviously considers that they're Jewish, but they don't keep Hilchas Nida. Any Jew keeps their Ksamim hidden away not to make Tumah. But what do we see from here? That if Ramei is saying that the Ksamim that we find from the Kutum Atamei is obviously the Ksav Ramei, Kutum Geri Emesein. Says the Gemara, yes, he agrees that the Yisraelim. However, Ramei says, Knas hu shekonis Ramei b'mamonim. There's a special knas that Ramei gave to them because he wanted to avoid assimilation with them. And how was he able to avoid assimilating with them? Shleitam b'em, by saying there that they're considered tamei. Moser of Zera, ask the Gemara. The Mishnah teaches us in Masechet Ksubos Daf Chof Tes Amud Aleph. Ve'el nara sheyesh lo knas. If a person violated a Jewish girl, there's a knas that you have to pay their father, Chamishim Kesef. Says the Gemara, Habal Mamzeres v'Nasim v'Alkutis, even though these women who are regular Jew, as we've been learning when we learned to say the Noshim may not marry, but if they were violated, then the halacha is that the knas has to be paid. But ask the Gemara, V'Sakadat Kodesh Ramei b'Mamaynam. If Ramei says that you have to pay knas, Hachinami, Niknais, shouldn't we say that if somebody, Rechman Tzlan, violated a kutis, they shouldn't have to pay the knas, again, for the same reason, because he wants to avoid the simulation. Kadesh lo yitam behem. Answers the Gemara, Amar Abaya, says Abaya, Remeir didn't want to exempt them, shlo yehei chayte nisker. If somebody will violate a kuti girl and will not have to pay knas, that means he did a horrible aveira, and he benefits, and therefore, the Ramei said they should have to pay the knas. Says the Gemara, So yes, somebody did a terrible aveira for violating a kuti woman, and we want to punish this person. But if we don't want to have assimilation with the kutim, the way this could be done is v'nisvelaniyim. Tell this person who did this terrible sin to pay the aniyim. Why do we give it to them? Amrameya, shim to have a man m'sharen le'tovim. The rule throughout Shas is that somebody, money that nobody is claiming, then nobody's really paying attention. So if somebody is owed money, then he's going to make sure that the money he's owed is going to be collected. But if it's going to be given as a fine to give to the aniyim, and there's no specific ani, there's no specific poor person who's entitled to that money, nobody's going to come claim that money. And since no one's going to come claim the money, this person who did this horrible aveira is going to benefit, which we don't want, and therefore Rameya agreed that it should be given to the kutim.